show up in your life and make a way when there seemed to be no way. Hallelujah. That's who He is, you know. He is our way maker. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, I requested that they sing that song right before I preach, because as I was praying about what to preach, that phrase kept coming up in my heart. So the title of our message today is Way Maker. Hallelujah. Woo! We could just say yes and amen. The words to that song are my message today. Hallelujah. But we're going to look into the Word of God and just build it deeper and deeper into our hearts. And when we leave this place today, I believe every one of us are going to come up in our expectancy. Come up in the fact that we have a miracle worker working in our lives. Hallelujah. So on your way down, turn to someone and say, He is the way maker. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Thank you guys. That was awesome. Hallelujah. So many powerful phrases in that song. And one of them was, He is the light in the darkness. Light in the darkness. It is so easy to focus on the darkness. So easy to get upset and to magnify and talk about all the bad things, perhaps, that are happening in our lives, in our nation. But you and I are not children of the darkness. We're children of the light. We're carriers of the life and the light of God. So wherever we go and whenever we show up, it ought to be dispelling the darkness. You and I are atmosphere changers. You might walk into a situation where everybody is just bummed. And like Pastor was talking about, maybe everybody's talking about politics, or they're arguing and there's hatred here and there's dissension there. Just show up and be the light. Hallelujah. And cause that darkness to be dispelled. Light is greater than darkness. He is the light in the darkness. And because He lives on the inside of us, we don't have to walk in darkness anymore. Aren't you thankful that He has enlightened your darkness? He has shone upon your path and you're not stumbling through life anymore. Glory to God. He's made the way clear. Glory. Jesus is the way maker. So as I start off today, I want to talk about how He makes a way in three different areas, and then we'll get into some real powerful scriptures. He is, He has, and He will continue to make a way in our nation. We just celebrated July 4th. And think about it. Just if you want to look at something and get happy, just look at American history and look how the hand of the Lord has been on our nation from the very beginning. No, we are not perfect. Yes, we have a lot of issues and things to overcome, but God is for us. God is with us. God is moving among our nation. The odds were against our country ever even becoming a nation. Just think about that ragtag group of men that fought against the British Army. They were outnumbered. They were out equipped. The British had better looking uniforms and funny wigs and all of that stuff. But God, I mean, I'm sure the men that were fighting them thought, wow, how will we ever win this battle? And it wasn't because of their ingenuity and all of their courageousness. That was all important. But we won our independence because God's hand was on our nation. And destiny was on our nation. Hallelujah. He has not changed His mind. The enemy has attacked us all the time he has attacked us, but we are declaring we shall stand and we shall fulfill the call of God upon our land. God bless America, land that I love. Guide us through the night with what? The light from above. The light of the glorious gospel is going to outshine any darkness that's trying to overtake us. And then think about this. Jesus has been, he is, and he will continue to be the way maker concerning the destiny of Heart of the Bay Christian Center. We just celebrated 42 years of this church being in existence, us being the pastors. Thank God he has made a way for our church when there seemed to be no way. We've had marvelous opportunities to quit, great opportunities to close the doors, but we're still here. We're still standing. And we are not just surviving as a church, we are thriving. Hallelujah. And the vision shall be fulfilled because the Lord is going to help us. He has raised up this wonderful congregation to be a light in the midst of a dark place. You know, people all around the nation even are talking about how bad California is, how bad San Francisco is. Well, where sin does abound, His grace does much more abound. You and I have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I truly believe it. He has taken the cream of the crop and he set us right down in the midst of a dark place because we got what it takes. Hallelujah. You and I have got what it takes to fulfill the call of God upon this church. Thank the Lord, his hand is upon us for good. Thank you, Lord. You are our miracle worker. You are our way maker. Anybody glad about that? Then what about this? Has Jesus ever made a way in your own individual life? Has anyone ever faced an impossible situation? I think a better question, is there anyone in here who's never faced an impossible situation? Well, look at yourself and say, I'm still here. I'm still standing. Hallelujah. I'm looking at some more than conquerors. I'm looking at some victorious ones in Christ Jesus. We've all come through some things. I'm looking at some folks that I know they faced cancer. But you know what? Cancer didn't win. They won through the power of Almighty God. Jesus made a way. Hallelujah. He always makes a way of escape when evil things show up in our life. You know, there's a scripture over in Job, and Pastor referenced Job, you know, about how the thing he greatly feared. And religion has taken a lot of verses out of Job, and they've twisted around. First of all, a lot of things that Job said were just that. Job said them. They weren't quotes from God. But one of the things that religion has taken, and they try to explain away difficult things or an untimely death, and they quoted in this pious voice, well, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. How many of you ever heard that at a funeral? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Now, I don't want to be a wise guy here, but you know what? I do believe that. I believe it in this way. And this is how, when you hear it the next time, just think this to yourself. You don't want to scream it at a funeral or get in somebody's face, but under your own breath, say, I believe that. The Lord giveth. The Lord giveth everlasting life and taketh us out of spiritual death. I believe that. The Lord giveth health and healing, and he taketh away sickness and disease. Yeah, I believe that. The Lord giveth prosperity and taketh away poverty. The Lord giveth peace and taketh away mental torment. So next time you hear that, say, yeah, I do believe that. The Lord giveth, all right. He giveth good things, and he taketh away bad things. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of light. Hallelujah. So has God been good to anybody in here? Has God brought anybody through anything? He is our way maker. He is our miracle worker. And we need to take the limits off of him. Our God, we used to say this as a kid, and it was a good saying. I think it was a song. Our God can do anything but fail. Hallelujah! Our God can do anything but fail. One of the things that God rebuked the children of Israel for was that they limited him. Yep, I got some scriptures. That was all my introduction, but it's pretty good, huh? They limited him. Let's look at Psalm 78. We want to look at verse 40 through 42 in the New King James. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God. And this is a phrase that stood out to me. And limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. God was grieved because they limited him. They didn't remember how he had redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. They forgot his mighty, awesome power. Often, this is what we do. The devil will see to it. We remember what we should forget. We ought to forget the past. We ought to forget our failures. We ought to forget what somebody did to us. So often he tries to get us to remember what we should forget and then forget what we should remember. That's what was happening here to the children of Israel. They weren't remembering how great their God was and is. They weren't acting on Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then notice this phrase. It said they were provoking him. That's not a good thing to do. They were provoking him by limiting him. And where was this happening? This was happening in the wilderness. It was never God's will or plan for them to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Yes, he supernaturally provided for them while they were there. The Bible says their clothes and their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. Some of you may have some clothes in the back of your closet that are 40 years old. You might want to dig them out, and if they still fit, they could be back in style by now. But I will just tell you this. If you've got shoes, rubber-soled shoes, in the back of your closet that are 40 years old, throw them away. The soul does not last. You can ask me how I know. Jane and Pastor Nancy are witnesses to the fact that I wore some shoes. They weren't 40 years old, but they could have been 20, that I dug out of the back of my closet to a ladies' meeting here. Do any of you ladies remember that? Some time Pastor Tom was here, and the soles of my shoe crumbled. They did not last for 40 years. But this was a miraculous thing. God took care of them, even in the wilderness. And I'm glad I don't have to wear the same shoes and the same clothes for 40 years. I like to shop. How about you? Some new things. Anyhow. But the wilderness was not supposed to be their final destination. It was only a place that they were supposed to pass through to get to the promised land. That entire trip out of Egypt to the promised land with all these millions of people should have only taken 2 weeks. But it was their unbelief and them limiting God's ability to give them what he had promised them that caused them to spend 40 years in the wilderness. They weren't looking to him as the way maker. They were looking at the circumstances. And they got their eyes off of the Holy One. And they limited him. The wilderness represents wandering aimlessly. No direction year after year. Seeing the same thing. I'm sure after a while they were looking and they were like, we just passed that rock last year. That's the same old rock. Seeing the same old scenery. One definition of wilderness is this. A pathless area. No road. No way out of there. They were wondering and wondering. But God always provides a way out. A new and a fresh path for us to walk on. I want to emphasize that right now. God wants to make a way in some of your lives. Perhaps in an area where you've just closed your thinking to it. That things will never change. It's always going to be the same old, same old, same old. Wandering and wandering and wandering in the same place. And seeing the same scenery year after year. No, don't settle for that. Don't limit the Holy One. He wants to do something new in your life. Isaiah 43 verse 18 and 19 out of the Good News Translation reads this. But the Lord says, don't cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Now I love verse 19. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It's happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. Hallelujah. The Lord is saying this to some folks right now. Don't cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened yesterday or last week. We all could have regrets in our life. But it does us no good to live in the woulda, coulda, shouldas. Let it go. Let it drop. Stop holding on to the past. It's hard to run into your bright future if you're looking behind you and thinking about all the areas that you missed it in. Let God do a new thing in your life. Hallelujah. And he used the word wilderness there. It might seem like you're in a pathless area, that there is no road out. Oh, yes, there is. And his name is Jesus, the way maker. Hallelujah. Watch for that new thing he wants to do. And I like how it says, it's already happening. You may feel like there's no way out of your situation, but it's time to look up and to expect God. Hallelujah. A road means a way out. Glory to God. If you've ever been maybe in the woods or hiking or something and you're tired of walking and you're like, wow, I would just like to catch a ride on with a car right now. And you see a road and you get happy because it means there's a way off of the top of that mountain, or there's a way out of that wilderness. Shout this with me. He's bringing me out. He's doing a new thing. And I see it. And I receive it. Hallelujah. Expect the miracle worker to do miracles, whatever it takes, to fulfill his promise in your life. I heard Jeremy Pearson say this. I wrote it down. I loved it so much. If you will expect the uncommon and embrace the unusual, you will encounter the unimaginable. If you will expect the uncommon and embrace the unusual, you will encounter the unimaginable. God's got supernatural ways and means of blessing you. Supernatural ways and means of opening doors that you thought were closed. God has supernatural favor available to his people. Psalms 5:12 says he surrounds the righteous. He encompasses about with favor. I just hear this in my heart right now. Don't factor out the favor of God. He's got ways of bringing promotion to you when it looks like it may be impossible. He's got ways of highlighting you to someone that will cause you to rise to the top in that company. Glory to God. Do not factor out the favor of the Lord. Expect him to do uncommon. Embrace the unusual, and you will encounter the unimaginable. I love that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now there's another scripture in Isaiah we want to look at. Isaiah 48:6 out of the Amplified. You have heard these things foretold. Now you see this fulfillment. And will you not bear witness to you? I show you specified new things from this time forth, even hidden things kept in reserve, which you have not known. Signs of the time are everywhere. Prophecies foretold of old are being fulfilled. How many of you sense this in your spirit? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and he is coming soon. And before he comes, he says there are things reserved for this last day. And they are going to start happening like popcorn popping in the name of Jesus. And one of the things that we are going to see an increase of is the divine supernatural intervention of God. Can I get a witness? Remember that song? There was an old song that we used to sing. I anticipate the inevitable supernatural intervention of God. I expect a miracle. I expect a miracle. Don't get up in the morning and say, well, I expect this is going to be a bad day. Or I expect it's going to be the same old, same old, same old. Kind of like that old movie, Joe versus the Volcano. Nothing new's going to happen. I got to get my little lunchbox and go to the bus. Go to my desk where the light is flicking and there's no windows and just, you know, nah, 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 nah. No, I expect a miracle today. I expect divine favor today. I anticipate the inevitable, the supernatural, the intervention of God. Hallelujah. Get your expectors on. Hallelujah. Make room for Him to do something extraordinary in your life. Open your heart wide. Don't limit the Holy One. So I was praying about this message. I was reminded years ago, it was on a Mother's Day, I preached a message called Make Room for the Supernatural. And I just want to talk about that. And we're not closing yet, but that's our last point. Make room for the supernatural. Don't limit Him. Supernatural literally means this: pertaining to an order of existence beyond the natural. And then divine means this: heavenly, proceeding from God, above human. We have divine, supernatural help available to us. Glory to God. I love the stories in the Bible. They're lessons for us. They're windows that help us to see how we can apply them to our life. And there is a wonderful account over in 2 Kings chapter 4. And this is about the Shunammite woman and how she made room for the supernatural. The Bible tells us that she was a woman that lived with her husband in a place where the prophet Elijah apparently passed by on a regular basis. This woman noticed the man of God, and she's prompted in her heart to bless him. The Bible says in 2 Kings 4:8, "Now it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunan, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food." Now, in the Amplified, it doesn't just say she was a notable woman. It says she was an influential woman. She was a woman of means. She wasn't flaky. She wasn't strange. She wasn't weird. Man, I liked how it also says, one day she noticed that the prophet was passing by. It wasn't like it was a feast day. It wasn't like it was a great celebration day. It was an ordinary day in her life. Just a regular day where she was out doing her notable and her influential stuff. But something happened on that day. Often we get this misconception in our thinking. Well, if there's going to be something supernatural happen in my life, then it means that I've got to pray in tongues for 24 hours. I've got to get myself worked up into some sort of spiritual trance where I'm just, and then, zoom, I'm going to be in this higher spiritual plane and something divine is going to happen. No, nothing could be further from the truth. God is looking for ordinary people who will be faithful to Him in their everyday life. The Bible says this woman, the Shunammite woman, it was just a day. It was an ordinary day, but she kept seeing the prophet pass by her house and something tugged on her. He's looking for people that will just love Him, listen to Him, obey Him, and be used to be a blessing. This woman took what she had. This woman did what she could do. The Bible says she fed him. She must have been a good cook because he kept coming back. I tell you for sure that scripture works. A way to a man's heart is through his stomach. No, that's not a scripture, but it does work. We're going to be married 47 years on July 22nd. And when Pastor Mark and I first met, we were both students at Raymond Bible Training Center there in Oklahoma. And I moved into an upstairs apartment. And the manager said, well, you might want to check on that young man that's moved in right downstairs. Talk about divine appointment. She said he didn't have any furniture. He doesn't have a car. But he's going to Raymond. So I knocked on the door. Been the sweet little country girl that I was. And I had a bounty there because I grew up on a farm an hour away from Tulsa. So every time I'd go home on weekends, I'd come home with a lot of produce. And I started cooking for the man of God. I felt like he had been deprived all of his life because he came from way up north. And I was a good country girl. He had never eaten fried okra. I mean, that is sad. Never had black-eyed peas or collard greens. I'm like, what in the world did you eat up there in the northern land? But I started cooking, started blessing the man of God. And the rest is history. Hallelujah. So me and the Shunammite woman have something in common. We both used our abilities in the natural. We both got in the kitchen and cooked up something good. She cooked it up for the prophet. I cooked it up for my future husband. And it brought supernatural favor and goodness into manifestation in her life and in my life. Glory to God. The eyes of the Lord are looking for ordinary people that He can do extraordinary things through. Hallelujah. He's looking for people, not with all of this great ability, but availability. Who would have thought her cooking a meal for the prophet was going to lead to what God blessed her with in her life? God is looking. The Bible talks about over in 2 Chronicles 16:9, out of the home, and I love this, for the eyes of Yahweh roam throughout the earth to show Himself strong for those whose heart, I like this line, are completely His. Completely His. Is Jesus your Lord? Does He have every room of your heart? Are you holding back any areas that you haven't given to Him? He's looking for those whose hearts are completely His. He found such a woman in this Shunammite woman. She was just, her motive was to bless the man of God. Because she loved God and she saw He was a holy man. Let's look at the rest of this story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9. And she said to her husband, look now, I know. See, she knew it in her heart. I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand so that it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. It wasn't a Motel 6, but she definitely wanted to keep the light on for the prophet of God. There is such a spiritual significance in what she did. She said in her heart, I know he's a prophet of God. I want to do something to honor this gift that's passing by. She literally had her husband make a room for the prophet. And in so doing, she opened up her life for the supernatural power of God to work on her behalf. Hallelujah. God did move on her to do what she did because he had a plan in mind. Nothing that we do for the Lord or his people or the kingdom of God goes unnoticed by him. The Bible says if we give a prophet a cup of water in the name of the Lord, we receive a prophet's reward. Don't despise what you may be doing in the kingdom or in this church. It's no small thing to go over there and work with the babies. It's not a small thing to serve with our youth. It's not an unnoticed act to be an usher in this church. God takes what we give him, and it gives him entrance into our life to do something supernatural for us, to give us the desires of our heart. That's exactly what happened with this Shunammite woman. Verse 11, and it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room, and he lay down. It wasn't again, it was just a regular day. But he appreciated and he saw her act of kindness. And she must have been a good cook because he kept on coming back. And he was blessed. And so after a bit, he says to his servant Gehazi, bring this woman to me. And he asked her, what can I do to bless you? You made me a room. You opened up the way for the supernatural to show up in your life. So what can I do for you? And again, it shows her motive. Her heart was completely the Lord. She said, oh, I dwell among my people. I don't need anything. Gehazi, his servant, spoke up and said, she does not have any children, and her husband is well stricken in years. And the prophet says to her, about this time next year, you're going to have good news for us. And it happened exactly like he said, glory to God. It came to pass. God gave her the desire of her heart. He gave her a son because she made room for the supernatural. She honored the presence of God in her life. Do you have any room that you need supernatural help in? Thank God it's available. She had to literally build a room. But you and I, we have to make room for him in our hearts. We got to get rid of hindrances. We got to take the limits off. Get rid of that fear and fill our hearts with faith. God is looking for people that he can fulfill his plan and his purpose in and through our lives. Familiar scripture over in Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God knows the plans he has in store for all of us. And they're plans to prosper us, to give us hope and a bright future. Things may look hopeless right now in your life, but let me remind you, we serve the God of all hope. Hallelujah. We serve the God with whom nothing is impossible. I love this scripture in Romans 15:13, out of the Passion. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing. Woo, that's good right there. With uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround you, your life, with his super abundance. Oh, look at that. Until you read those last three words. Until you radiate with hope. May the God of all hope overflow in this place. May He fill you to overflowing with perfect peace, uncontainable joy. Surround you with supernatural abundance and assistance until we all radiate hope. You and I are called to be the light in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. We are called to be the light bringers. We are called to be carriers of hope. Let me ask you, what are you radiating? Well, hopefully not anxiety, fear, worry. No, we're going to radiate hope. Hope. Hope thou in God. The psalmist David, when he was in the midst of a terrible situation, I believe it's in Psalms 42, he talked to himself and he said, "Why art thou disquieted in me, O soul?" And then he repeats it several times. Hope thou in God. Another way to say that, he was saying, "Why are you down in the dumps? Why are you depressed? Hope thou in God." Woo! Hope in God. He is our miracle worker. He is our way maker. He is the one who creates a road even in the midst of a wilderness situation. Glory to God. That makes me happy. Anybody else in here happy about that? One last scripture, Psalms 89:16, again out of the Passion. We can do nothing but leap for joy all day long. Woo! For we know, ha ha ha, do you know something? We know who you are and what you do. And you've exalted us on high. Woo! We can rejoice. We can face our future with faith, hope, and joy, and peace. Because we know who He is. And we know what He does. Hallelujah! Woo! He is.